Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody has had a good day or a great day to this point. Is the weather a little cold, a little gray here today in Middle Tennessee? A guy we've enjoyed talking to over the years, Tyler Kepner, is on the line with us from New York Times. Tyler, how you doing?
I'm doing all right here on this rainy day, stuck inside. How are you guys hanging in there?
That sounded like yesterday here in our city. It rained and it was nasty all day long. So we all were probably mush brains on yesterday, on Sunday. So we're trying to stimulate things here today, trying to get things going again a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's just trying to distinguish one day from the next is not so easy these days. But we're all healthy and good, so that's all you can ask for.
We got a lot of layers, no doubt about it. We got a lot of layers to get through with you. Let's just start with something we discussed a lot last week, and we had the likes of Mookie Betts on our show and David Price and R.A. Dickey, and we had some really good conversations with them, and Tony Kemp is another guy. And let's start with the kind of the model that got out there, using the vast Phoenix area, which we'll just say in like a 45-minute or 60-mile radius, let's say, all the spring training sites in Phoenix, maybe using that as kind of their, I call it the Olympic Village or small compound to conduct their season. What do you think of that model? Let's start there.
Well, I think they need to think creatively about this stuff. You know, they need to try to come up with possibilities for any time they might restart. You know, like if they get the word that hey, you can start, get started this time, then they need to have an action plan in place. But that said, I mean, this is a creative plan, but I don't think it sounds realistic to me. I mean, to keep all the players quarantined for that long a time period, you know, self-isolating. That's one thing. I mean, it's not easy for them for sure. They're not robots. But what about all the other people it takes to put on a game? They would have to be really, really careful that they're complying with, the safety rules, because as much as they want to be first, they've also got to be safe, or else this whole thing could backfire in a big, big way.
So viability, you give it what? I'm assuming from that answer, less than 50%?
Yeah. I would think that's unlikely to happen. You've heard about the plan to do it some in Arizona, half in Arizona, half in Florida.
Florida.
I mean, maybe that makes a little more sense. You've got more facilities to play with. But the heat in Arizona is another big issue. I know that they're worried about that. So it's just, there's so many logistical issues they'd have to get through. I mean, I guess I wouldn't rule it out, but just because no one knows what we're heading into here. I think it'd be awful if there's no season, so that you've got to at least try to think of ways to salvage something. But putting the whole league in spring training with no fans and everybody away from human contact, not just the players, but all the staff people and everybody else that takes to put on a game, that's it's hard to envision that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The lady who has been cutting my hair for a long, long time is from Taiwan, and she's the one who first tipped me off about what she goes over there every year, and she went over in January. So she's been keeping me kind of abreast what's been going on over there, and she texted me over the weekend and said, hey, the Taiwan-based league, I think it's the Chinese Professional Baseball League, they were actually supposed to start on Saturday, but they got rained out. She said that they did start their season yesterday. And so obviously a lot of people will keep close tabs on where that's going. And I know you've written an article too. So how much can we and should we pay close attention to what they're doing over there to maybe help with what we started off this interview talking about?
Yeah, I think it's definitely worthwhile to keep an eye on. I talked to, I guess, last weekend, and the story ran last week, a few players from the Korean League, and at the time they were quarantined or self-isolating, I guess, because they had visited their families in the States before going home before going back to South Korea. And so they were just talking about how strange it was to be all alone over there and self-quarantining for a couple of weeks and watching some of their teammates play exhibition games or play scrimmages with masks on. They weren't really keen on that idea, but I guess they would do it if they have to play ball with masks on. And no fans in the stands is going to be a big deal over there because they love the atmosphere over there in Korea. They talk about how just crazy passionate the fans are all game long. It doesn't matter what the score is, they're singing and they're hollering and making noise. So without the fans, it would be a big shift in what you're used to seeing over there. But there is a ton of talent over there, and just if we need something to satisfy our competitive fix, and it you're not big on NBA players playing horse or people playing video games against each other, maybe the leagues over there is a good place to turn, not just for entertainment, but to see what kind of model baseball might be able to use too. But again, it all has to do with the stuff that's out of their control, how well the virus is contained and how safe it is to get together again.
Talking to Tyler Kepner from the New York Times, Major League Baseball writer, and we're talking about how Major League Baseball is eyeing what's going on over in South Korea, who is trying to get their league going again. And one of the things that dawns on me, Tyler, as I read your article, is you've got South Korea, who has been applauded around the world for jumping out, doing a pretty good job getting ahead of the curve or as best they can with the testing procedures that have maybe given them a little more confidence to move forward here. So maybe explain what the Major League Baseball people can learn from that. How much further does testing have to come here in the States to really get to where they are?
Well, that's an important point. And they talked about that, because the testing, they're able to have to test so much quicker over there. Whereas if you do it here, how often would you need to test these guys? I mean, you might have to test them, you'd have to test all of them. I think at least once and have some sort of regular schedule. I was talking to Scott Boris, the agent, about the idea, and he was talking about, testing guys every day and how soon enough that'll be available to us. But it's not yet. We're not yet at the point, as far as I know, that everybody can get a test whenever they want. So there's that. There's the idea of just needing, putting these people in close proximity, and then if one person gets it, do you have to shut down the league? That's another thing that seems unworkable to me is this idea. It's having the players sit in the stands, so there's social distancing. But what about when you get on the field? Like, what about when the guy gets on first base and they got to hold him on, or where the catcher sitting right behind the hitter, does he wear a mask over his mouth and nose? There's even though baseball players do tend to stand 6 feet apart, there are inevitable interactions within that. So it's going to be really strange. Obviously we're getting you know, way ahead of ourselves. But they do have to think of possibilities, like I said, to enact whatever plan they have when the time comes.
Is the South Korean League planning on anything like that, or are they to a point where they feel like, okay, the risk is low enough, we're just going to play baseball, and I know there's going to be slides and interaction, as you said, and as long as there's no setbacks, they're going to just play the games?
Yeah, I had not heard of any of that stuff. Just like you were saying, I think they're just going to play the games and you know, maybe have players wear masks while doing so. But I didn't hear of any additional things like sitting in the stands or anything.
Tyler Kepner is with us from the New York Times. He's also written a book, as we told you in the last hour, A History of Baseball in 10 Pitches. The book is called K, just the letter K. And if you look at the cover, and you are my age or Darren's age, you'll hearken back all the great baseball cards that we grew up watching. So, Tyler, I'm in the middle of it right now. I've enjoyed all of the great storytelling that goes with this. But basically, explain the premise of the book and how you came up with the idea.
Yeah, it was just a way to kind of look at the whole history of pitching through the pitches themselves. You know, kind of make the slider a character and the knuckleball a character and the split finger fastball a character, because each of those pitches sort of has a different history and a different kind of mentality to throw them. And I wanted to trace sort of the lineage of each pitch back from the beginning and sort of down through the current days, you know, whether it's still a hot pitch or whether it's basically gone out, like the screwball or the, you know, the splitter has gone down from where it was in the '80s. But I really wanted to trace the origins and folklore behind these pitches and talk to, you know, the masters, you know, talk to guys who threw these pitches better than anyone and find out where they picked it up and how they passed it on. You know, guys like Steve Carlton and Bob Gibson and Nolan Ryan and Greg Maddux. And, you know, I was lucky enough to get in touch with, I talked to, I think, 22 Hall of Fame pitchers and a bunch of other hitters and just hundreds of players overall to get inside their heads about, you know, how basically, because every pitch is a decision, right? Every pitch is, you know, you got to know what you're throwing and where and why. And then beyond that, you know, how did you get that pitch? So there's so much, you know, fertile ground to go over with these guys, and guys love talking about it. I mean, guys were really, you know, having fun, I think, talking about their craft and how they learned their, you know, the pitches that made them great.
Tyler, based on this conversation that we've been having and something that we've talked about on this show before, is when this is all over with and things return to normal, number one, what exactly is normal going to be? I mean, we assume that at some point fans are going to be back, but I think it'll probably take a vaccine. But do you think that we go back to a normal for the media that includes going inside the clubhouse or going inside locker rooms, you know, to do our jobs? Or do you think that this changes everything for good?
Well, obviously, I sure hope so. That's how we, you know, bring these stories to people, and we've always had a really good you know, relationship with the players, and you know, it's been a pretty good workable setup. But I, you know, I just don't know. I mean, it's really impossible to tell what's going to be permissible in society going forward. I mean, I would think, you know, that. I mean, I really don't know anything medically. I was going to say, like, yeah, I would think going forward, if this the virus, you know, passes through, or we're ways, you know, peters out or whatever, that we could go back to, you know, regular human interactions. And I think if we're having regular human interactions, going to the movies and going to sporting events and church and everything else, that, you know, we can still talk to people the way we used to talk to them. You know, I don't see why that would change, unless there's another big, you know, tragic pandemic like this.
Well, and I think
it's in the league's interest. It's in the league's interest to have, you know, to have as much coverage as possible, and to have their players be as accessible as possible. So they, you know, the league always wants to try to, you know, help us do our jobs, you know, because the more publicity they get and the more accessible their players are, the better it is for the league. And the players might have a different view of that, but they've, you know, to this point, they've always, you know, been cool with us being there, you know, for limited periods before and after games.
Yeah, I guess the only reason I worry about it, and I don't mean to be insensitive when I use the word paranoia, but, you know, I think it's going to change our way of thinking, change society's way of thinking. And, you know, the leagues and the players, you know, might look at it as a way to do that and to adapt to that. And it could become, you know, I know with hockey, they were bringing players out to a podium. And that was something that, you know, Darren and I didn't have to experience, but our jobs are, we're in the locker room all the time with the Nashville Predators and getting one-on-one interviews. But, you know, they were on the road when all this started, but that could, that would obviously change how we do things. But I'm just curious if there's going to be a heightened sense of awareness that, all right, we got through this, but it could happen again. Let's do our best to prevent it.
Yeah. I mean, that seems, I can see where you're coming from, you know, because whenever they get back, you know, they're going to want to, probably, you know, protect the players as much as possible from, you know, from contracting anything. And, you know, I guess that could conceivably be part of it. I don't know if you then tell the players not to go out to eat ever again in public or not to go to any concerts on their free time or you know, whatever. I just don't know where we're headed with all this. You know, I really don't. I mean, you know, take us out of it. You know, what about the fans, you know, who want to get autographs and stuff, you know, crowd around the players in spring training, trying to get them to sign balls and cards and everything. I mean, is that sanitary? Is that going to be discouraged? I just don't know where we're all headed with this. Obviously, like everyone, I guess I just hope we can get back as close to normal, but what's the new normal going to be? That's the big question.
Yep. Let's end with this quickly then, Tyler. If I were to set the over under at 80 and a half games, so 80.5 as this year's regular season for Major League Baseball, would you bet the over or the under?
Ooh, great question. Because I think I'm kind of thinking right around there. Because you got to remember, you're going to have October to play with if they come back. I mean, they'll push everything back a month at least. So, you know, whatever you think of as October now, push that back to November. So if you can get games in October, September, August, maybe part of July, you know, then I guess I would take the over. They have every incentive to get in as many games as possible financially and just for the integrity of the season. I think they're open to stuff like 7-inning doubleheaders, you know, creative scheduling, stuff like that. So I think they'll try to get in as many games. So I'd take the over, not by much. I think it'll be under 100.
Okay.
But what do I know?
Yeah. Well, that's the fun of this exercise, right? None of us know. But right. I was just curious what your answer would be. So you would take a slight over on that. Well, I hope you're right, for sure.
I'm trying to be optimistic. I mean, I hate to say zero.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's the logical thing is just to say zero. But, because we don't know, and it feels like there's a lot of ground we got to make up here to get back to where we're comfortable doing this stuff again. But I figured I'd be optimistic until I'm told otherwise. Why not, you know?
No doubt.
I'd rather try to live life that way.
Good approach. Tyler, thanks for your time. We really appreciate you doing this. Good to hear from you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that is Tyler Kepner from the New York Times. I'm going to ask Willie and Chase that very same question on the other side. The over and under is 80 and a half games for this upcoming Major League Baseball season. Would you take the over or the under? If you had to bet a paycheck on it, which way would you lean? We'll do that on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money.
Hello, my name's Stephen Fry. Today, it's my pleasure to be your guide on this quite interesting tour of London.
Find out how Big Ben
keeps accurate time with the help of a handful of pre-decimal coins, like pennies, farthings and shillings from 1933.
And that
London's classic red phone boxes were actually based on a tomb.
Join Stephen Fry and the makers of QI for fun-filled and fact-laden GPS-enabled audio tours. Enjoy on location or at home. To get started, visit qi.com/walkingtours.